Welcome to Factually Speaking, where we expose the BS one show at a time with your host, Alan Campbell. Take a breath and dive right in to the show where facts matter more than feelings.
I was born on the outskirts of New Zealand's largest city, Auckland. My childhood was, by today's standards, idyllic. Oh, sure, we had the normal family concerns. My dad was bipolar, which probably had a bigger impact on me than I knew at the time. As a young teenager, I had to mow lawns before and after school to help the family out. There were lingering concerns of the Cold War, though we all wondered why anyone would waste a nuke on New Zealand. Then there was the government. New Zealand has always had socialist tendencies, and I remember my dad talking about the command and control economy that the Māori government practiced. Wage and price freezes, import and export controls. New Zealand from the time I was born in 1972 to the early 1990s was pretty much a basket case. I was an avid reader with a deep love of history and all things aviation. For the longest time I wanted to be a fighter pilot. Hell, I still do. Though my eyesight put paid to that idea many moons ago. I was also a political junkie. I'd seen firsthand the impacts state sanctions could have on families, and with the arrogance of youth, figured it shouldn't be that hard to fix. It was incompetence and in small size and isolation that was a cause of New Zealand's economic hardship. New Zealand was an egalitarian society. There was no corruption here. That's what we were sold anyway, and it was probably largely true. In many ways it still is, though the signs of corruption are becoming more apparent as time moves on. My first realisation that there could be actual corruption in God's own was doing some work for a council-controlled entity, Auckland Transport. It struck me while looking at the road and contract department how easy it would be for someone to rig the system. Something in that department just didn't feel right. I wasn't surprised when in 2016 a company director and an Auckland Transport senior official were found guilty of giving and accepting bribes of more than $1 million. About the same time, the world's press was flaying Donald Trump after his 2015 escalator ride that had, for reasons then unknown, shocked the political establishment and media, not only in the United States, but around the world. As an outsider looking in, I could not figure out why Donald Trump had suddenly become the most hated, vile man in the world. Like most, I listened to the 20-second clips of him speaking and tried to reconcile that with what the media narrative and people's reactions were. What happened to our egalitarian society, I wondered. What happened to giving a guy a fair go? Why did no one get that DT was not a professional politician, so would not speak like one? I watched in amusement as friends and family jumped on the bandwagon, buying the media narrative hook, line and sinker. I could see what was happening, because unlike so many, I was taking the time to watch more than the soundbite clips shown on TV. As a political junkie, I found it fascinating. The demonising of Donald Trump was my first real awakening moment. It was that led me to understand that the game was rigged, that media and politicians worked together to create a narrative, that there was some sort of agenda at play. It was the sheer breadth of hatred across so many platforms that gave the game away. Where were the dissenting voices? Okay, so it might be a bit slow. For more than 40 years, I believed that rational people could solve problems with rational discussion, that we all wanted the same outcomes and simply had differing opinions on how we best achieve them. Since 2016, the pace, scale and depravity of the lies has increased rapidly. Lies that have led to division and rancour in societies that once upon a time could have agreed to disagree. It is no longer clear that national interests are at the heart of, or indeed have any role to play, in any debate. Let's recap a few of the narratives that have been foisted upon the world. Remember the Russian collusion hoax and the PP hoax? You know, where DT supposedly paid Russian hookers to pee on the bed that Barack Obama had slept in? How many still believe that, I wonder? It was, of course, a total hoax, a fraud, a lie created by the Democrats, a lie that still has ramification and is subject to ongoing investigation. How many remember the Democrats calling the 2016 election a fraud, a victory achieved through cheating, making Donald Trump an illegitimate president? This one has been swept down the memory hole, despite being repeated ad nauseam by Hillary Clinton and the media for 4 years. Of course, 4 years later, it was the safest and most secure election in history, despite the obvious issues. Again, the investigation is ongoing, and most who dismissed the claims have ignored the illegality of changes to voting procedures, the findings in places like Wisconsin, and thousands of affidavits from concerned citizens that saw wrongdoing. It is the ultimate partisan issue, when it should be about integrity and transparency. No matter what side of this debate you are on, there must be some recognition that the appearance of fraud, even if there was no actual fraud, is a disaster for democracy and deserves to be investigated fully in the public arena. Then, of course, there is the pandemic. Lies have been a penny a dozen during this tumultuous time. Let's not even talk about the definition of a pandemic, which has been altered over the years to make it easier for a pandemic to be declared. Let's not even talk about the definition of a vaccine, which has similarly changed. Even the definition of herd immunity has changed from the indirect protection from an infectious disease that happens when a population is immune, either through vaccination or immunity developed through previous infection, to a concept used for vaccination, in which a population can be protected from a certain virus if a threshold of vaccination is reached, and herd immunity is achieved by protecting people from the virus, not by exposing them to it. Then, of course, there are the ongoing lies about the efficacy of wearing the masks to stop a virus. Many people still believe this one. The lies continued with the number of cases and deaths, tests that were at best irrelevant and at worst fraudulent, deaths recorded as COVID despite the other obvious comorbidities like gunshot wounds and accident trauma. Some of the biggest lies, of course, have concerned the vaccine trials. The absolute faith that had been placed in pharmaceutical companies, despite their record, despite their attempts to stop the release of data for 75 years, despite the issues that are apparent when real-world data is examined, is staggering. It seems I'm often on the opposite sides of the popular press, the mainstream media. Some may consider me a conspiracy theorist. Time and time again, I have asked myself if I am wrong. I have examined and re-examined the best available information in an attempt to answer that question. And that is why I have created this show. To get to the facts, as best we are able, to provide our listeners with the truth, or at least a rationale, a half-decent argument as to what the facts probably are. We will explore current affairs and narratives and ask questions, pointing out where facts don't fit with popular opinion, and where they do. We will speak to as many experts as we can, people that actually know stuff, not 20-year-old social media influencers interviewing the dark recesses of their own limited intellect, but those that have studied and learned and applied their knowledge in the real world. We will not be afraid to speak to anyone, but here's a promise. If anyone comes on this show and speaks BS, we will call them on it, either in the show itself or an addendum to the show if more information becomes available. We have no issues with people being wrong, with people making mistakes, or simply not knowing, but we will not tolerate deliberate BS. So if you want to move beyond the popular press, if you want to remove your head from your ass and look around, or are simply wondering if you alone can see the truth, this show is for you. I really hope you like it. Subscribe now so you don't miss the first episode.
Thanks for listening to Factually Speaking with your host, Alan Campbell. Please subscribe, and if you want to sponsor or comment on the show, reach out at factuallyspeaking@yahoo.com. This was Factually Speaking, the show where facts matter more than feelings.